弟兄姐妹、朋友们平安，
Be with you again.
感恩节快乐！
Hope you had a great holiday.
快乐吗？
Are you?
周五晚上我们在教会度过了一个美好的夜晚。
Friday night we had a great time in church.
大家一起享受了每家一道菜的百家宴。
We enjoyed the potluck with all varieties.
然后尝试敬拜，并借着四位弟兄姐妹，享受了更加美好的生命见证。
We sang songs and we enjoy listening to the four testimonies given by our brothers and sisters.
大家还记得最早，在1621年美国感恩节的场面吗？
Do you remember what the scene of the
从油画里看。
earliest 1621 Thanksgiving, the first?
一群最早乘坐午夜花号轮船踏上北美洲大陆的英国清教徒们。
So those Puritans came from England. They just arrived through the boat called Mayflower.
在当地印第安人的帮助下，经过了一年艰难困苦的努力。
And after one whole year of hardship, with the help of the local Indians,
那些幸免于疾病、冻饿等等死亡威胁而存活下来的英国移民，邀请印第安人共享感恩的聚会。
Those immigrants, after they survived 1 year of disease, frozen and starvation, they put together a dinner to offer Thanksgiving.
他们在一起感谢上帝的保守和引领，感谢印第安人对他们的帮助。
They offer Thanksgiving to God's protection and leading, and also to the American Indians to thank them for their help.
从他们那个时候开始，一直到今天，他们一起感恩聚餐中最典型的一道菜是什么
？And since then, there was a most iconic dish.
对，烤火鸡。
That is the roast turkey.
那随着科技的发展进步，庆祝感恩节的聚餐又增加了一些新的内容，增加了什么呀？
So,
啤酒。
Because of the technology advances, besides the turkey on the table, we also have beer.
啤酒，还有观赏电视直播的球赛娱乐节目。
Broadcasting of all football games.
大家还记不记得去年这个时候我给大家提供过一组数字
？I don't know how many of you still remember. About 1 year ago, I offer you a statistics.
每年感恩节，全美国的居民要吃掉多少只火鸡啊？
How many turkeys will be consumed?
还记得吗？有人记得吗
？At this time,
5000多万只。
50 million turkeys will be consumed.
所以，在美国每年饲养的火鸡大约2亿多只。
And in the U.S., nationwide, they raised 200 million turkeys.
我经常会设身处地地想一想。假如说我是火鸡的话，哇，我和那些火鸡的伙伴们都在翘首企盼，企盼什么呀
？So I usually put my shoes into the position of those turkeys, and if I were them, I would be waiting for what?
企盼谁将是一年一度被送到哪儿啊？ Yes, 被送到白宫里边那四只幸运者之一。
I would be the one that was hoping that I would be the one of the four turkeys that would be sent to the White House.
其中有两只当众被总统赦免，另外两只呢是替补队员。
Two are pardoned immediately by the president, and the other two are substitutes or backup.
那今年被总统赦免的两只火鸡已经亮相了。
This year, those two turkeys were pardoned.
他们的名字分别是，我给他翻译，泰茨和塔特哥俩。
Tate and Tut, like English Tate for Tut.
今天也总统没有带女儿在旁边，两个 nephews 是侄子还是外甥？
Nephew, so those are the two nephews of Obama rather than his two daughters.
那没有被赦免的火鸡怎么办呀？
So what would those other unlucky turkey do?
集体出逃，抗议，示威。
Do they protest or flee from the prison together or what?
所以去年感恩节的主日，我曾经借着这些火鸡他们的出逃抗议示威，提醒大家用换位思考的方式来思想。
So last year I used those topics to remind you that sometimes it will be helpful for us to put our shoes into the turkeys.
什么是我们感恩的事情
？What are the things that we really thank for?
我们感谢上帝所赐下的是什么样的恩典
？What kind of grace or mercy that we should thank our God for？
或者说，我们期望上帝赐下怎样的恩典才是我们想要感谢他的
？Or you can say, what kind of grace do we expect that God will give us so that we can thank？
仅仅是我们的身体健康、家庭美满、亲人平安、朋友和气、衣食丰富吗
？Does that include those basics such as healthy body, happy family, peace, with interpersonal relationship？
仅仅是为了这些最基本的满足而感谢上帝吗
？So do we thank our God for those most basic satisfaction？
还是借着我们每一位耶稣基督的信徒一个个极普通的却是在基督里边的生命去彰显上帝的荣耀呢
Or do we give thanks for the fact that even ordinary people like you and me we can manifest God's glory to our to people surrounding us
今天我们就借着列王记上十七章七到十六节的经文一起来领略上帝的荣耀恩典怜悯怎么样借着人和大自然而彰显也就是荣耀恩典怜悯
So today I want to use the passage that we just read from the first king to lead us intoThe topic of God's glory, grace, and mercy.
先请大家翻开你手中的圣经，翻到《列王记上》十七章。
So let's turn back to the Bible, find the passage we read this morning. First King, chapter 17, starting from verse 7.
那刚才我们所读的七到十六节这段经文中，除了耶和华上帝，还提到了几个人物。
So let's count what are the characters in this passage besides Lord Jehovah.
提到几个人物？住在撒勒法的一个无名的寡妇和他的儿子，还有先知以利亚。
Obviously, it mentioned this widow and her son, although no name were given.And this prophet Elijah.
以利亚是何许人物
？What kind of people is Elijah?
以利亚在旧约圣经中堪称与摩西齐名的大先知。
In the Old Testament, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets, almost matching the name of Moses.
上帝呼召摩西带领以色列人走出被 压迫奴役的埃及。
God used Moses to lead the Israelites.
而进入流奶与蜜的迦南美地。
Out of the Egyptian slavery and enter the promised land of milk and honey.
由于他的过失，上帝只是引领他登上山顶，遥望了一眼那迦南美地之后，就结束了摩西他在地上的生命。
However, Bible says that because of Moses' mistake, God only showed Moses the land, the Canaan, the land, and then soon after that, Moses died.
那摩西是怎样死的？死后葬在哪里？就连以色列人及其后代都渺无音信。
How Moses died and where he was buried, there was no information.
那上帝在呼召以利亚的时候，他是一个什么样的人呢？
And when the Lord called upon Elijah, what kind of a man he was?
被今天许多神学家描述为一个说是从约旦河外的家乡出来的粗鲁赤诚的村野之夫。
Many theologians describe Elijah as a rude but sincere farmer from the countryside near Jordan River.
对宫廷的礼节和高深的学问完全是门外汉。
He had no knowledge about the protocols in the palace,
但是他却
nor any knowledge about high education.
他却胆大妄为地跑到北国以色列的王宫中，向拜偶像、引领百姓陷入罪恶之中的国王发出了认罪悔改的呼吁。
Regardless, he was dare enough to run into the palace and call upon or point out to the king that they should repent.
但是以利亚他在最终呢，也是在他的徒弟和众以色列民众的面前，被耶和华上帝派来的火车火马乘着旋风上天了。
And at the end of his life, in front of his disciples and many Israelites, Elijah was taken away by the Lord through fire chariots and fire horses in a whirlwind.
摩西、以利亚这两个人，一个呢，死都不知道在哪里，只是在知道在上帝面前。以利亚被上帝派的火车火马上天了。
So Moses, there's no recording about how he died. And then Elijah was taken away by the Lord.
大家还记得在新约圣经中记载主耶稣登山变相的那段经文吗？
Many of you can recall the Jesus went to the mountain and his appearance changed.
路加福音九章二十八、二十九到三十一节，说了这话以后，约八天，耶稣带着彼得、约翰、雅各上山去祷告。正祷告的时候，他的面貌就改变了，衣服洁白放光。忽然有摩西、以利亚两个人同耶稣说话，他们在荣光里显现，谈论耶稣去世的事，就是他在耶路撒冷将要成的事。
Luke 9:28, we can read together. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he, Peter, and John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking to Jesus.They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem.
我们借着那些艺术家的手来感受一下现场的气氛。
Through those famous painting, we can try to grasp the scene at that moment.
摩西、以利亚。
Moses, Elijah.
那现在我们就试着从圣经旧约时代，以利亚先知与一位那无名的寡妇，他的交往的生活的一个片段，来体味耶和华 这位创造宇宙万物的上帝的荣耀、恩典和怜悯。
So today let's look into this passage we read about Elijah and this nameless widow to see how this passage illustrates God's glory, grace, and mercy.
那首先我们从列王记上十七章第七节来思想荣耀。
Let's ponder on glory first.
列王记上十七章七节，过了些日子，溪水就干了，因为雨没有下在地上。
Verse 7 of chapter 17 says, sometime after the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land.
看了这一节经文，如果现在我跟大家分享说，因为雨没有下在地上，这句经文所彰显的是上帝大能的荣耀，大家会觉得奇怪吗？
If I ask you this question, when we see there's no rain falling on the ground, and I said this passage illustrates God's glory, do you feel kind of a little bit strange?
在加州生活过的弟兄姐妹和朋友都会知道。
Those who have lived in California all know that.
加州每年从十一月初到三月末，大约有五个月的时间是雨季。
California has 5 months of rains from the beginning of November till the end of March.
从四月到十月，大约有七个月的时间里边是一滴雨都不落。
And typically from April to October, about 7 months, there was no rain.
但是加州和佛罗里达两个州是美国两大蔬菜水果生产基地，大家知道吗？
But to our surprise, that California and Florida are the two biggest states that supplies vegetables and fruit.
那他们浇灌依靠什么样方法呀？
How do they irrigate?
几乎都是人工浇灌的方法，除了那雨季的时候。
Typically, using the artificial irrigation system, except during the rain season.
而以色列人所进入的迦南美地，也就是今天的巴勒斯坦地区。
So the Canaan place that the Israelites went into from Egypt.
与美国加州的地理位置和雨季降临的时间非常相像。
It's very similar to the geographical location and the raining season to California.
它那个地方是南北狭长，西临海洋，它的日照非常充足。
Just like California, it's a long strip, and west side is the ocean, so it's full of sunshine.
它的物产非常非常的丰富。
So the land of Canaan or today's Palestine has a lot of the abundant supply.
为了解决这长达七个多月里边无雨季的农业、蔬菜、瓜果等等的浇灌问题。
To solve the irrigation problem during no rain, during a season of no rain.
所以目前以色列已经成为全世界人工浇灌滴灌技术最发达的国家。
Israel, the nation of Israel today has become one of the most advanced countries that develop all kinds of technologies for irrigation.
那当年摩西在带领以色列人出埃及进入迦南之地。
So, back to the time of Moses when he led the Israelites into the Canaan land.
当然是之前啊，他和他的接班人约书亚一再向以色列民重申。
Before the Israelites entered the Canaan land, he told his successor, Joshua,
你们不可与你们中间所剩下的这些国民掺杂。
And announced to the Israelites, saying, do not associate withThese nations that remain among you.
掺杂的意思是什么？婚配。
Do not associate here means that do not marry your children with them.
他们的神, 你们不可提他的名。
Do not invoke the names of their gods.
不可指着他起誓, 也不可侍奉叩拜。
Or swear by them, you must not serve them or bow down to them.
但不幸的是,
Unfortunately,
以色列王国从所罗门接续了他父亲大卫的王位之后,
The Israelite dynasty since Solomon took over from his father, King David.
虽然国富民强,
although the country became very wealthy,
使得耶路撒冷成为当时世界上最大位, 可以说是最大最伟大的城,
And Jerusalem at that time could be one of the greatest city in the world.
圣殿也是全地最豪华的建筑。
The palace was the most luxurious building, magnificent building at that land.
所以在当时世界上各地各处上至国王下达达官贵人都纷纷前去朝见所罗门，看他的建筑的人是络绎不绝。
All other nations, the kings and high nobles, they all went to Jerusalem to pay tribute to King Solomon.
人们去是要听这位有名的这位国王所说的智慧的话。They
want to hear from Solomon about his wisdom,
并参观圣殿、皇宫和耶路撒冷城一切显赫的荣耀。Also
get a chance to tour the palace, the holy temple, and the city of Jerusalem.
得了上帝恩典。 但是所罗门到了晚年，为了扩展他帝国的政治经济势力，
Although God has given such a glory to King Solomon, but until the late days of his reign,
打着与周边国家地区结盟，建立友邦关系的旗号，
Solomon tried to expand his kingdom and. So he had the plan of forming allies with many other nations in the neighborhood.
大肆地迎娶外邦的公主。
So he married a lot of the princesses from other countries.
所以在列王记上11章记载着说，所罗门爱上很多外国女子。
So King, in the first King, chapter 11, verse 2, it says Solomon held fast to those princes in love.
除了埃及王的女儿以外，娶了700个公主，此外还有300个妃嫔。Besides
the princes from Egypt, Solomon has 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines.
所以其结果是他们使所罗门离弃了上帝。And
his wives led him astray.
之后，所罗门不单纷纷为他们建造祭坛，还亲自参与他们的敬拜偶像的活动。So
Solomon not only built the altar for his wives and concubines, he also participated in their idol worship.
所以如此败坏之风深深地影响到所罗门死了以后，以色列王国分裂为南北两国，那个。
So that corrupted the nation, and since Solomon died, his kingdom was broken into the north versus the south.
那在我们所阅读的《列王记上17章》后半部分的，基本上记载了大约80年的历史。
So the passage we read is about the second half of the book of First King. And during that history, there was about 80 years.
在那段时期里边，我们来看看，南国犹大一共有4个王，其中2个呢，都是耶和华眼中看为恶的王。So
in the South Kingdom called Judah, during that 80 years of duration, there were 4 kings, and in God's eyes, 2 were bad.
那在北国以色列，86年间，8个王， 没有一个被称为是耶和华眼中看为善好的王。
On the other hand, in the northern kingdom, Israel, all eight kings during the 86 of years, none of them was called good.
所以现在呢，我们就说一说以利亚先知时期北国的这位亚哈王。
And today our focus is the seventh king in the northern Israel, and that is King Ahab.
他为了与当时撒玛利亚西边的有一个叫西顿国的国王，在外交和军事上结盟。
King Ahab, he wanted to establish the allies with a nation west of Israel called Sidon.
娶了西顿王的公主耶洗别为妻。
So he married the princess of Sidon. Her name is Jezebel.
他不单没有带领王后耶洗别认识真神上帝。
King Ahab did not bother to bring his wife to know God.
反而被他诱惑偏离真道而离开了上帝。
But rather was led astray by her idol worship.
随从他的妻子去祭拜敬奉巴利和亚舍拉神。
And they worship Jezebel's idols called Baal and Asherah.
并且在首都撒玛利亚城建造巴利的庙。
And in the capital, Samaria, they built the temples for Baal.
设立亚舍拉的神像。
Establish the image of Asherah.
在举国上下的民众中兴起了那一股什么风呢？有时候我是不是提到过，就是说建庙就进，建偶像就拜，那样的败坏之风。
So it led the whole nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, the people can be called that whenever they see a temple, they will enter, and whenever they see an idol, they will bow down and worship.
而且更甚的是，亚哈王他们夫妇还分别供养了450个巴利的先知和400个亚舍拉的先知。
In addition, King Ahab and his wife, they set individually raised 450 prophets that worship Baal and 400 prophets that worship Asherah.
并且到处追杀耶和华的先知，使他们不得不到处躲藏。
And they try to kill all the prophets of the Lord Jehovah. Therefore, those prophets had to hide some places.
所以据资料记载，亚舍拉是迦南地，也就是今天巴勒斯坦地区外邦民众所信奉的众神之母。
According to research, Asra was the popular, it is called the mother of all gods in that region.
她是迦南众神之父伊勒的妻子，巴利呢就是他们的儿子。
So Baal is the son of Asra and her husband, Ela.
在迦南地区不同地方拜不同的巴利神。
And in the region of Canaan, they worship different type of Baals.
那巴利在以农业为主的当地迦南人中间，普遍的被敬奉为管理闪电和风暴的神。
And Baal was regarded as the god that controlled thundering and storms.
认为地产丰富、富饶的土地的结果是巴利神的功劳。
To the Gentiles in Canaan, they regard Baal as the god who managed the harvest.
所以为着这样的缘故。
So, in order to please Baal,
天地间唯一的真神耶和华，从乡间一个小城， 呼召了一位，就刚才我们讲的，被形容为胡子、头发蓬乱、面孔又黑、双目炯炯有神、肩上却披着粗糙的羊皮的村野之夫的以利亚。
Therefore, God called upon this Elijah, this prophet that was described as with beard and hair, fluffy beard and hair, disordered appearance, with very dark face because he's a farmer, and he wore rough sheep skin.
以利亚跑到撒玛利亚，富丽堂皇的王宫，面对强暴自大的亚哈王，发出了充满挑战性的宣告。
And this farmer dared to go to the palace and challenge the king who is arrogant and also violent.
列王记上十七章第一节，在你手中。基列寄居的提斯比人以利亚对亚哈说：“我指着所侍奉永生耶和华以色列的上帝起誓，这几年我若不祷告，必不降露不下雨。”
If we read chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe," I can't see well, so I have to read from here. "Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'"
结果怎么样啊
？So what happened?
就在你亚哈王和王后所祭拜、所敬奉的巴利神所管辖的这个大的范围之内。
So in the region that was supposed to be controlled by Baal,
耶和华上帝借着一个村野之夫以利亚先知的口宣告，不仅终止降雨，而且连一滴露水也都不给你降下。
It did happen that God did not allow rain or even a drop of dew.
刚才我讲了，说加州还有迦南地通常是一年七个月，那这次不降雨不滴一滴露水多长时间？
How long was the drought? In comparison to the 7 months that I mentioned about California, no rain season.
路加福音四章二十五节记载，当以利亚的时候，天闭塞了三年零六个月，遍地有大饥荒。
In Luke chapter 4:25, it recorded that in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land.
所以列王记上十八章一到二节也有记载。
First King, chapter 18 also recorded.
那我想请问弟兄姐妹们，也就是刚才咱们开始的那一节，列王记上十七章七节经文记载，因为没有雨下在地上。
Verse 7 of 17 says there was no rain dropped on the ground.
以及因为干旱所造成的大饥荒所彰显的是不是上帝的荣耀。
So the drought, is that a manifestation of God's glory?
这叫神学的脑筋急转弯，是不是？
It's called the,
上帝的荣耀在这个时候彰显出来了。
We can see God's glory manifested at this time.
其实作为亚伯拉罕的后裔，无论是南国犹大或者北国以色列，他们那些君王们。
For a lot of the kings, whether in the north or southern kingdoms,
他们谁人不知道，他们的祖先，在上帝带领下，出埃及，当时所显的大能的荣耀啊。
Those kings all knew that they were. Their ancestors was brought out of Egypt because of the glory and power of God.
可是他们就是为了 讨好他们的娇妻。
But in order to please their wives.
为了维护军事、政治、经济等眼前的利益。
And also maintain their existing benefits, whether from military, political, or economics.
就犯下了认贼为父、明知故犯的敬奉偶像、假神等，在耶和华眼中看为大逆不道的罪恶罪行。
They committed this greatest sin in the eyes of the Lord that they worship the idol.
我想请问他们害不害怕真神耶和华上帝？
So aren't they afraid? Weren't they afraid of the Lord Jehovah?
这也是我们今天时代向教会的信徒所发出的一个问话。
This is also the same question that we have to ask ourselves.
当我们内心的私欲发动的时候
，When we have our own flesh desire，
我们害不害怕那位真神耶和华上帝
？Are we really afraid of the Lord Jehovah？
一边面对是草民以利亚，一边是自己的娇妻和高居同盟国王位的岳父大人。
So King Ahab was facing on one side is this rude farmer, Elijah, and on the other side is his wife and his father-in-law, the king of all the allies in Sidon.
亚哈王心中平衡之后动了杀机。
After weighing the pros and cons, King Ahab made up his mind.
他要追杀耶和华旨意那个人向他宣告的造成他国的饥荒干旱饥荒的那个人。
He decided to kill this prophet who caused the drought and famine.
耶和华上帝看透了亚哈王的心思，所以就向遵照他旨意的以利亚先知发出了恩典的引领。
The Lord saw through the hearts of King Ahab, and then he showed his mercy and guidance to Elijah.
列王记上十七章八到十二节，咱们先看八和九节。耶和华的话临到他说：“你起身往西顿的撒勒法去，住在那里。我已吩咐那里一个寡妇供养。”
So we saw, we see.Chapter 17, verses 8, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon, and stay there. I have commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food.
我们看一下这个地图，撒勒法是位于当时的两个大城，一个是推罗，一个是西顿，在这之间呢有一个小城镇，是一个海港镇。
So the Zarephath is a small harbor between the two big cities. On the north is Sidon, on the south is Tyre.
这是以利亚的家乡提斯比，这是撒玛利亚。
And on the lower part was the hometown of Elijah, Tisbe, and then the capital, Samaria.
稍加思索，其实我们就会发现。在此时前后，耶和华上帝是很幽默的。
So if you think about it, God, was really humorous.
你看，一方面撒勒法远离亚哈王的势力范围。
The town, Zarephath was pretty far away from, the control of, King Ahab.
但他距离王后耶洗别的家乡西顿很近呢。
But isn't that very close to Sidon?
如果耶洗别的父亲作为西顿国的国王，知道了以利亚在撒勒法。
And Sidon's king, is also the father-in-law of, Ahab. If he knew that this prophet would get to that small town,
他一定会派兵来抓捕以利亚，然后送回女婿亚哈王那里。然后以利亚怎么样？逃命危险了。
Wouldn't he send out his soldiers and capture Elijah and then Elijah most likely will be sent to Ahab and be killed.
这在军事上叫什么呀？有个话，灯下黑。
Oh, in military word, this is saying that if you are standing right below the lamp, it was dark. Is that correct?
另一方面，先前不久呢，又引领以利亚到干旱无雨的季节的时候，到约旦河东岸的荒山野岭去躲藏。
Now, on the other hand, not long ago, Elijah was sent to the east side of the Jordan River to hide in the mountains.
并且吩咐在以色列人眼中看为污秽的、不洁净的一种鸟乌鸦来供养他。
And at that place, God sent crows to feed him, and crows was regarded unclean animals or birds to Israel.
现在又引领他到这个风险之地不说，还是在旱灾之年吩咐一个原本就自身难保的一个穷寡妇来供养他。
So God was really humorous, not only sent Elijah to a town that's so close to Sidon, but also offered him a very poor widow to protect him.
面对这么多看似不利的因素，以利亚有没有迟疑？
So when Elijah faced such factors that look very disadvantageous
to
Elijah, did he hesitate?
十到十二节，以利亚就起身往撒勒法去，到了城门，见有一个寡妇在那里捡柴。以利亚呼叫他说：“求你用器皿取点水来给我喝。”他去取水的时候，以利亚又呼叫他说：“也求你拿点饼来给我。”他说：“我指着永生耶和华你的神起誓，我没有饼，坛内只有一把面，瓶里只有一点油。我现在找两根柴，回家要为我和我儿子做饼，我们吃了死就死吧。”
So verse 10 through 11, you can see how desperate this widow was, but she still followed and willing to do the service.
我记得小的时候，我每年寒暑假的时候，几乎都是在远郊农村的外婆家度过。
So I recall when I was young, many summer and winter vacations, I spent the time in the countryside in my mother-in-law's house.
农忙的时候呢，会随着外婆外爷到地里庄稼地里边一块去。
Oh, my grandma's house. and During the harvest time, I work out with my grandpa and grandma.
那当人们从地里面回下工回家的时候呢，当时村口有一口井，人们都纷纷担水。
And in the front of a village, there was a water well, and many people go there to get water.
那挑水的人都会习惯地停下来，让那些下工口渴的人呢。对着水桶咚咚咚的灌几口。
And when they see us that was very thirsty from the harvest field, they always allow us to eat, to drink first.
我有的时候随着外婆出去呢，到远处的村庄去串亲戚。
Or sometimes I went out with my grandma to visit relatives.
尤其是炎热的夏天，途中路过，即便是不认识的人家，主人也会热情地招待我们进到家中歇歇脚。
So in very hot summer, sometimes we pass some families or household that we did not even know, and they were very hospitable to ask us to come in to take a break.
煮一大碗的鸡蛋茶，烙一张香喷喷的葱油饼，让我们吃饱了喝足了以后呢，送我们出门。
They would cook a big pot of tea and even bake. A bread, and let us drink and eat, and send us out.
我讲这个故事时，我突然发现，这和早年巴勒斯坦地区的民风非常的相似。
So it's very similar to the custom at that time, at Elijah's time.
因为按照当时的待客礼节，尤其在城门口，以利亚的请求是非常适当的，也不过分。
So therefore, Elijah had this plea, asked for the food and drink from that woman. It was not, it was commonly acceptable.
可是这位寡妇的反应说明了什么问题？
But this widow, how he responded to the request.
说明上帝对以色列人祭拜假神偶像之罪的惩罚。
So God has sent the punishment to Israelites because they worship idols.
所导致的旱灾带来的粮食短缺的可怕后果。
And so God brought this drought and famine.
不但临到以色列王亚哈管辖的范围。
Not only affected the kingdom of Israel,
而且同时覆盖到了外邦假神偶像的发源地，也是亚哈王的岳丈他那个地方。The
drought also affect the land of Sidon.
撒勒法作为一个港口小镇，它主要的出口货物呢就是粮食、谷物和食用油。And
that small harbor, Zarephath, its main exporting goods are the grains and oil.
此时这两个东西都匮乏了。But
now, both items were lacking.
说明旱灾到了多么严重的程度。So
you can tell how severe the drought was.
这也就是说，在巴利神的故乡，终止向巴利的子民提供。 维持基本民生的粮油。In
other words, this drought had cut off the supply even to the country of Baal, the country that Baal was in control, and also affect the people that worship to Baal.
这就是上帝荣耀的手。And
this is the glorious hand of our Lord.
但是上帝却选择了这个生活在社会经济地位最底层的寡妇，来供养表面看似落难的先知以利亚。So,
we also see that God uses a widow who is in the lowest level of the economic and social status, and use her to supply to this. Prophet who seems to be escaping as a refugee.
这背后给我们的真理是什么呀?
So what is the truth behind this scene?
上帝荣耀的大能彰显之后，那个恩典能力的彰显。So
besides we see the glory of God who brought the famine and drought, we also see the grace and power.
而且是双刃剑，一箭双雕。And
it's like a two-edged sword, or you can say kill two birds with one stone.
依照当时社会的一些法律，寡妇是没有权利接受遗产的。According
to the social law at that time, the widow had no right to inherit.
没有能力保护自己。They
had no capability to protect themselves.
他们只能是受贿的对象，不可能作为供应者。They
are the targets of people's mercy and donations. They have no power to become a provider.
更让我们看到上帝惩罚中的恩典，恩典之中所彰显的怜悯之情。And
this led us to see God's grace, and among the grace, we see His mercy.
这就是列王记上17章13到16节，怜悯。So
we see this mercy in verses 13 through 16.
13节，以利亚对他说：“别担心，去做你的饭吧。可是要先做一块小饼拿来给我，然后用剩下的做饼给你和你的儿子。”Elijah,
verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son."
大家还记得刚才十二节, 这位妇人是怎么样回答以利亚的请求的。
Let's recall in verse 12 how this widow responded.
我指着永生上帝耶和华你的上帝起誓。
As surely as the Lord your God lives, she said.
这是一位住在了充满偶像祭拜的国度里边的人。
So this widow lives in this nation that was full of idol worship.
生活在社会最底层穷困潦倒的一个寡妇。
She was in the bottom of the social status and she was poor and nothing.
也是一个非以色列人。
And he was not an Israelite.
他能相信眼前这位以色列人装束打扮的乡野之隐之人的允诺吗？
So how could she trust this foreigner is Elijah and what he said?
如果你处在这位妇人的地位，看到这个人给你允诺，你怎么想？
If you were in her shoes, how would you think about this request from this stranger?
遭遇干旱多年了，到处缺少粮油，如果你的上帝能够供应你，你还至于像我这个穷的不能再穷的孤儿寡母讨要一块小饼吃吗？
It's very natural that if we were that widow, we would question this inquiry from Elijah, saying that if your Lord can supply you, you are such a big man, why do you have to ask for help from me, such a widow?
再说了，你一个人高马大的六尺汉子，我们娘俩仅有的一块小饼也不够你充饥呀。
And the small cake that I and my son could survive was not even big enough for you, such a big man.
但是，这位外邦寡妇既没有犹豫迟疑，也没有辩解诉苦，而是怎么样啊
？So this widow did not hesitate, did not complain, did not argue. On the other hand, what did she do?
列王记上十七章十五节，妇人就照以利亚的话去行。
Verse 15 says, she went away and did as Elijah had told her.
一会儿功夫，她就将仅剩的一把面和一点油做成的小饼和水送到了这位以色列人的面前。
And quickly, she prepared the food and the drink.
有动静后边，哇！渴，哇，饿，以利亚接过饼和水，几口下肚之后，向妇人谢过了，高声嘱咐他说：“你放心回去吧。”
After Elijah sang the widow, and he told her to go home in peace.
列王记上十七章十四节，因为上主以色列的上帝这样说：一直到我上主降雨的那一天，罐里的面粉用不完，瓶里的油也用不尽，不仅仅是这一块油。
Verse 14, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of the flour will not be used up, and the jug of the oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land.
听了此话，这位将信将疑的妇人拖着沉重的步子回到家中，面对饥肠辘辘的儿子，再看一眼刚刚被他倒空的那个面盘子和酒油瓶子。
So we can imagine this widow went home with some doubts in her mind, and she saw her hungry son, and she touches into the jars and the jug.
当她下意识地将手再次伸进面罐子的时候，简直不敢相信自己的感觉。
She could not believe what she touched.
里边的面粉是满满的，再一看瓶里的油也是满。
Both the jar and the jug for food.
列王记上十五十七章十五十六节，妇人就照以利亚的话去行，她和她家中的人，并以利亚吃了许多日子，坛内的面果不减少，瓶里的油也不短缺，正如耶和华借以利亚所说的话。
Verse 17 through 18. Sometimes later, the son of the woman who owned the house became. I'm sorry, I heard 15 and
来了。
16. You see the supplies continue for
哇，哇，
years. Can the translator take some?
分享吃吗？一会儿吃饭的时候。他和他家中的人，并以利亚吃了许多日子，这说明了什么？
So the Bible says that she and her household, including Elijah, had eaten the bread for many days.
说明以利亚不仅仅是向这位寡妇丢下一句许愿祝福的话，然后呢，一走了之。
It shows that Elijah not only just gave an empty promise to this lady and then went away.
而是与他们母子住了许多的日子，
He spent time and lived with them.
亲自见证了耶和华上帝所赐下的
，He personally testified the mercies and promise from our Lord.
荣耀、恩典、怜悯
，Glory, grace, and mercies.
那我想再次问弟兄姐妹们，在这感恩的季节，什么是我们感恩的事情
？So, brothers and sisters, in this season of Thanksgiving, what are the things we are thankful?
我们感谢上帝所赐下的是什么样的恩典
？What kind of grace that we thank our God for?
或者说，我们期望上帝赐下怎样的恩典，才是我们想要感谢他的
？Or what kind of graces that we want from our God so that we want to thank Him for.
仅仅是我们的身体健康、家庭美满、亲人平安、朋友和气、衣食丰富等等这些最基本的满足要求吗？
Is that just those basic elements of abundant supplies, material supplies, happy family, healthy conditions?
还是借着我们这一个个极普通的，却是在基督耶稣里的生命，用我们眼睛所见、身体力行的行动、身心灵的感受，借着恩典和怜悯，去彰显上帝的荣耀。
Or have we thank our Lord for the opportunities that we can bear good testimonies for Him?
Amen.